Patrick Johnston has an all-consuming passion for soccer. At one point, his mother said, "Are you a junkie?" He grew up in South Florida around Central American people who loved the game. By the time he was a teenager, he'd left baseball and football behind and was devoted to what he still calls the beautiful game. But it was a struggle. The game hadn't really caught on in America, at least not professionally. And when he tried to play for an English team, the reactions from the owners and the coach were lukewarm at best. They liked him, but they didn't think he was anywhere near ready for professional primetime soccer. The same thing could be said for America as a player in the World Cup. The US team did quite well in this year's World Cup, but as Patrick Johnston sees it, it'll be some time before the US is a serious contender. But nevertheless, he's certain that time will come. What do you think? Do you think that America will field a world-class team at some point in the future?
Oh, it's inevitable just because of the resources we have and the size of our nation.
But there's also the commitment, right?
Yeah, the commitment's there as well, too.
It is, you think?
Yeah, it is. It is because the United States Soccer Federation, which is, you know, has put a happy face on their name, they call themselves U.S. Soccer, has really started to seize control of the youth game and has created what's called the U.S. Development Academy. And while it's far from perfect, it still is a type of system that's trying to mimic or take the things that we can apply here in America from the club cultures of Europe and South America, where players are developed as players instead of teams are developed as winning teams. Eventually, when you have enough players that are developed as good players, then you can take those best players and form a winning team. And then, of course, it's as with anything, there's always philosophical conflicts on how to get there and what's the right way and what's the wrong way. And I'll tell you, Richard, the thing I find that makes the growth in the American game slower than in England or, you know, most other countries is the fact that the parents fund the clubs.
Parental involvement, too often over-involvement, as Patrick Johnston sees it, it's a pet peeve for him, is retarding serious player development. But when clubs begin seriously training individual players, as many already are here in the US, well then, as Patrick Johnston, a professional football coach himself, sees it,
I think it would be a foregone conclusion. We will be one of the top four countries in the world. But when that day will come, that's the great debate.
Patrick Johnston coaches football at Sewanee University. He's played professionally for a short time in the UK and for several years here in the US. But first and foremost, he's a fan. A soccer junkie, as he calls himself. He has attended games in every World Cup series since 1986. His first game was in Mexico City.
The first time I did it, I did not have a ticket for any game.
So you went to Mexico City?
Yes.
Which has got a reputation anyway.
It's a filthy place. And, you know, well, it's a beautiful place.
It's a little violent, right?
Yeah, there's certain places. As a matter of fact, there was a place there where I was almost knifed. And it's a chapter in the book. That was probably, for me, the most harrowing experience, or, you know, where I was the most frightened, realizing that I was putting myself out there. And because of that first trip, I did learn to proceed more cautiously and selectively in future trips. But I went to Mexico, but I did have a place to stay.
He had a friend he'd known while he was in school, a soccer fan like him, who had arranged to stay with a family in Mexico City.
And so he was telling me about this trip he's about to take. And I thought to myself, well, why am I not going? And so I said, "Hey, Mike, what's it going to take for me to be in your posse? I want to do this." And he was like, "No problem. Look, it's just this is what's going to cost us to stay there to pay the family and come along." So I went home. I actually worked on a roof for about a week and made enough money to pay for a flight and go to Mexico. And so I went. I had accommodations, but no tickets. And there's been times where I've had neither and gone and figured it out. And not a lot of money. I've had, through the first decade of this century, was probably the most prosperous time for me. So I still liked the way I went about it, which was in the trenches, get down there, get out, you know, and just go for the adventure, because I loved it. For me, knowing where I was staying, and it, having it all prearranged, and just knowing it, it doesn't excite me.
That doesn't do it for you.
No, I wouldn't go if it was all arranged for me like that.
So how do you handle yourself in those situations? You just open to people?
Yes, absolutely. That's it.
Which is a difficult thing to do when you're in a situation where you're not entirely sure, because it's a different culture, right? And you don't always read the signals right, because every culture has signals, don't they? That if you're part of the culture, you take it for granted and you understand. But if you're not, you can very easily misread them.
Correct.
And get yourself in all kinds of trouble without even realizing what you've done.
Correct. And, you know, to make that even more convoluted is you could go to a country and be dealing with people from another country because they're there for the World Cup.
Right.
So I think what happens is we're all in a similar situation. So I don't know if trepidation would be the right way to say it, but I lack that, and I lack inhibition. So it's not a problem for me to just approach someone and be myself. And I've been looked at many times as a daft this or, you know, that or whatever, and it really doesn't affect me or faze me what other people think about me, because at the end of the day, I end up getting to meet some people that are of a like feather, and we end up, you know, having a great conversation and hitting it off, and through these relationships, things happen.
It may seem that his behavior has been a bit reckless. Some might even say foolish. But Patrick Johnston is a passionate fan, and others recognize that. And it's transcended all of the barriers of language and culture standing between him and the people he's met and befriended all over the world.
In 2010, so I went to the World Cup, South Africa. It was an overnight trip. I was going for the U.S.-Algeria game because it just looked to be a cracker. And so I'm in the Johannesburg airport, get to the main train station, and the train is full of Americans. And so there's lots of buses as well, because the trains, there weren't a lot of them to handle the full capacity. And the game was in Pretoria, which was probably about 100 miles away, if even. And lots of buses full of Americans. And I saw a bus full of Algerians. And that's the bus I headed straight for, because I didn't want to get on a bus full of Americans, because I do that all the time in America. So I just got on the Algerian bus, and for the first couple minutes, I was pretty nervous, to say the least. And
what was their reaction to you?
They were just looking at me, and you know, they were
just wondering what's your story, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, is this guy getting on the I don't know. Is he getting on the bus looking for trouble? You know,
but I guess you can turn that curiosity to your advantage.
Yeah, right? What I did was actually the way I broke the ice was just audacity. They were all looking at me, and I was kind of looking back, my eyes dancing all around, to say the least. And they were all speaking some Arabic that I didn't understand, with some French mixed in because of the Algerian-French relationship. And so I just put both hands above my head and said, "Does anybody speak English in here?" And I just smiled. And so, you know, a few people just looked at me strangely. A couple laughed, and then one of the leaders of the pack, a pretty strong-looking young fella, came up and flat out just said, "You're a pretty brave guy for getting on this bus. What are you doing?" And so I explained, "Hey, man, I want to meet some Algerians. You know, I want to ride to the game with you people, get to know you," and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, I started to tell, you know, he introduced me to this one, that one. And so they were asking me about, "Oh, you went to that game. Oh, you went to this cup." So all of a sudden, I was telling these people the story of my book. You know, here I was in Mexico in 86, here I was in Italy in 90, this is what I saw, English fans, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, an hour and a half later, I get off the bus and I've got a bunch of Algerian friends. So, you know, that's kind of what I go looking for. Now, getting on that bus, could the Algerians treated me differently? Could it have been a long, lonely ride? Sure, but that's the chance I took.
So how do you negotiate that when you're in the stadium? You're among people. Wherever you are in the stadium, you're going to be surrounded by people who are rooting for one of the teams.
Correct.
Do you do the diplomatic thing and root for that team, or do you don't worry about that?
I don't worry about that. I definitely try to embed myself in a group that I am supporting. Some great stories there through the Odyssey in terms of people I've sat with and supported the teams and just the idiosyncrasies of this group and that group. But I love soccer. I love to go and watch soccer at that level. And just being in that environment is something that you can't buy it.
You just like the feel.
Yeah. You can't mimic it. You know, I get goosebumps just talking about it when I think about myself sitting in a stadium during a World Cup game.
Patrick Johnston is in Brazil this week. When he left this past Sunday, he had tickets for both the semifinal games, but he didn't, at that point, have a ticket for the final coming up this Sunday.
I am resourceful. I've been accused, it's funny, I was on another radio show. He called me, so how do you scam these people? And I'm like, no, it's not scamming.
No.
It's resourceful.
It's making connections.
You got it, exactly. Yeah. It's just going out there and seeing what's available, because these people, if I get a ticket from them, it's because they want me to have it, but there's no way they can know that unless they know I want a ticket, right? So I'm not afraid to make that known. So it's very possible I could stay through the final, but that will be determined in the 3 days during the semifinals. And during the semifinals, I will start planting seeds everywhere to say, hey, if I'm around Sunday, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what happens.
Patrick Johnston has collected stories of the adventures he's had traveling to World Cup games all over the world in the past 25 years in a book titled The Odyssey of a Soccer Junkie. And if he makes it to the final on Sunday, he's promised to come back and share some more stories with us. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.